I want to revisit lament again tonight, and just to think about the healing power of lament, and look at Job as an example of someone that lamented in the midst of suffering, and how he is a role model for us. We were looking on Sunday morning how lament is a pathway to healing and hope. And for it to be that, we have to be real with God. We have to get rid of pretense. We have to stop being fake. And we have to be genuine. And we have to be real about what we're experiencing and what we're feeling. God knows it all anyway. But sometimes we struggle to really be real with it. It's about being honest with him. It's about honest about being honest about the pain, the brokenness, the injustice, the evil that is in the world because of sin and the fall and the rebellion of Satan. And we see and experience all that in the world, and we have to be real about our experiences and the emotions that follow as a result of that. We can share our emotions with God. God can cope with our emotions, and it's far better and far healthier to express all our very strong and especially our very negative emotions to him, because he can cope with it. And in and through that, we can receive his healing and be renewed in our hope and renewed in our faith. Lament is a prayer of groaning. It is giving expression to the groans that are within us, the groans of pain, the groans of anger, the groans of frustration, the groans of desperation, and the groans of injustice. Creation groans, waiting for us to be revealed in all our glory when the kingdom comes in all its fullness, Romans 8 tells us. And in and through the prayer of lament, we groan and work through our pain and our suffering. Job is an extraordinary model. He suffered incredibly. He lost everything apart from his life, his livestock, his possessions, his house, his family, and even his health. And his friends were no help to him at all in the midst and the depth of his suffering. He even comes to that place where he curses the day he is born. In the midst of his misery, in the midst of his torment, in the midst of his turmoil, Job laments. Why did I not die at birth? Why has God hedged me in? I sigh before I eat. You can feel his frustration and his pain. My groanings pour out like water. There's a continual flow and stream of woe coming from him. The thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes. He is troubled, he is distressed, he is agitated, he is anxious. There is no rest, there is no peace in his body and in his soul, and he is deeply hurting and deeply grieving deep down in his spirit. And the interesting thing that I've just chosen a few verses from Job there, Job chapter 3. There are other verses we could easily have looked at. What we are aware of as the readers of the book of Job is there is a lot of things happening behind the scenes in the heavenly places that Job knows nothing at all about. But in the midst and the depth and the despair of his suffering and his groaning and his lament, his friends and his friends' theology is no help at all. When his friends said nothing for those first 7 days, they were more in solidarity and they were more supporting him than when they tried to bring a solution to his problems and his pain. Their theology was all based upon the fact that he was being punished for his sin. And if we're not careful, we can very easily promote those kind of ideas on people. Life involves great mystery. There is so much that is going on that we know nothing about. Just like in the book of Job, he doesn't know what's going on in the heavenly realms. Life is a tangled web of competing wills and agendas and actions, and all of them carry consequences. Many, many, many of them human, and others being spiritual beings. Some on the Lord's side, angelic and working for good and working for the kingdom, the joy, the justice, the peace of God. But others who rebelled with Satan and working to thwart the plan and purpose of God and seeking to bring as many men, women and children down with them as they can. There are so many things which are beyond our comprehension, or at times, as we've seen with Jesus and some of his dealings with the disciples, particularly Peter, there are things that it is not our right or is not the time for us to know. But in the midst of this horrendous suffering where he loses everything, Job never loses sight of God. Even when his wife tells him to curse God, he won't. And as a result of that, he does come through it to a place of healing, and he comes through it to a renewed place of hope, and he comes through it to a deeper and a more lasting revelation of God and relationship with God. And right in the midst of his pain and right in the midst of his lament, he has this incredible revelation, which we read about there in chapter 19 and verses 25 and 26. For I know that my Redeemer lives. He knows his Redeemer is alive, and he shall stand at last on the earth. This is prophetic revelation coming to Job, and he is seeing and understanding in his spirit that Jesus, his Redeemer, lives and will stand upon the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, Job is saying, after I have died, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. Job has a prophetic revelation of the resurrection. This is one of the occasions in the Old Testament where we see resurrection for the people of God being revealed to us. We've just given a very minute glimpse through this revelation that comes to Job. He knows that Jesus, his Redeemer, is going to stand upon the earth. He doesn't know he's going to be called Jesus, but he knows his Redeemer is going to stand upon the earth. And he knows he's going to be resurrected, and he's in his flesh he will stand before God. And because of the work of Jesus on the cross, that is the great hope that every Christian, every believer carries with them. But Job is honest about everything he is feeling: his doubt, his pain, his disappointment, his frustration, his anger. And others in the scriptures express hatred, retaliation. They cry out for retribution and even for vengeance upon their enemies. The sources of biblical lament are often directed against sin, injustice, the enemies of God and his people, and even the activity of God when the people of Israel were carried into exile. And there are real dangers if we carry those powerful negative emotions, like we were thinking about on Sunday, if we don't give them expression, if we don't find healthy ways to express them. They boil away and they fester away and they boil over actions, and that can lead to dire circumstances. That's a great danger for us, to let those things build up and eventually explode in ways that are beyond our control. If we can express them in an honest dialogue, even if we have to rant and rail against God, then we can receive his healing. We can know his peace, and we can work through them to that place of hope and trust. Because lament recognizes that God is a God of justice, and it cries out to God for justice. And there are many, many things we can be lamenting about at this time. We can lament the fact that coronavirus is still running wild around the globe. We can lament the fact that even in our own country, children are going hungry in the 21st century. We can lament the fact that there's still not full equality between male and female. We can lament the fact that there's racial inequality and racism is still rife within society and across the world. And we can lament the fact that people live without homes and without shelters in 21st century Britain. There is much to lament and to grieve and to cry over. We move the slide along. But lament is a pathway to honest expression to God, and it makes a way for God to come and to work his wonderful healing and his real healing into our lives. The pathway is express the pain, and even express the pain through prayer. So from the pain we move into prayer, and through prayer we move to a place of renewed hope and trust in the Lord our God, and we express that through praise again. Because lament never loses sight of the goodness, the grace, the love, the generosity, the justice of our God. It cries out for help, for rescue, for deliverance, for understanding, and for answers. And we have to be patient within our laments. We don't need to rush it. We need to give full vent to our emotions and give them expression. But what lament understands is that God is good all the time. God is a loving Heavenly Father. God loves his children, and he always has the best in mind for his children. It never loses sight of his goodness and his great love for his children. But what lament does, it recognizes the brokenness of the world. It recognizes that the fall happened. It recognizes that sin and evil entered the world, and because of that, tears and sorrow are a part of our everyday experience. But lament looks forward to and longs for that great day when God's new creation will come about, when the new heavens and the new earth will be fully revealed as Jesus returned, where every tear and every sorrow will be wiped away, and there are no more tears, and there are no more pain, and there is no more suffering, and there is no more sickness, and there is no more evil. And lament stands in the gap between the starting point and the ending point of Scripture. And lament looks to the cross where Jesus suffered himself, where Jesus lamented. And it knows that in the cross, there is the source of our healing. There is the source of our hope. And it will be fully realized and fully revealed when Jesus returns in all its fullness. So lament, through lament, we interpret the world through a God-shaped and a biblical-shaped lens. And this is my final point, that T.D. Jakes, a famous preacher, this is one of the things he says: God's grace is painted on the canvas of despair. Wherever we look, the grace of God is there for us. The grace of God can meet us. The grace of God can carry us. The grace of God can heal us and restore us and make us whole again. The grace of God knows no depths and no limits, and it's been revealed to us in and through our lovely Lord Jesus. Maybe one of the things you might like to take away as we've been thinking about lament is you might like to write your own prayer of lament, and that might help you through some of the frustrations and maybe anguish and anxiety you're feeling at this time. If you want some help with that, there's a resource on the EA website, and it'll talk you through how to write a prayer of lament. But as we thought about on Sunday morning, to cry is human, but to lament is Christian. Lament goes deeper than grief. It expresses grief and it gives vent to sorrow, but lament takes us through pain to prayer and into praise and back into a renewed hope and trust in the Lord our God. I want us once again to pause and to listen to a piece of music as our prayer. This is from, I thank John for finding this for me, John Ellingson, and this is from the Wren Collective's new album. And I think this might be the lead track, but it's called I Choose to Worship. Bring through whatever we are experiencing right now, we choose you afresh. Lord Jesus, you are worthy. You are forever our song. Keep us choosing you. We thank you, you chose us in Christ, and we choose you in Jesus' name. Amen.